and welcome to the third episode of Season 10 of the Dark Money Files, in which we shine a light into a murky world. I am Ray Blake, and with me is my co-host, friend, and business partner, Graham Barrow. Hello, Graham.
Hello, Ray.
Here's a question for you, Graham. Ooh. What system in your body do you rely on to help you make sense of the world?
What's a single system?
Yeah.
I use eyes to see things and I use ears to hear them, but those aren't a single system.
Indeed. What system takes all those sensory feeds and makes them available to the brain for evaluation, Graham?
Oh, that would be the CNS, right? The central nervous system.
That's the chap. It collates all the information coming in from your sensory organs and from your nerves and packages them up into a coherent picture of the world that your brain can then evaluate and act on.
Well, that's what I've always understood, right?
So I thought we might think today about the central nervous system of an AML framework.
Oh, are we talking about management information then, right?
Yes, exactly that. But first, Graham, we have to once again thank our sponsor, DeepPool. Now, as a podcaster, I don't deal with FATCA and CRS, so I'll never have to manually collect and validate tax information outside of an investigation. But many of our listeners, especially those in the fund administration space, know exactly what I'm talking about and are probably shuddering slightly at the thought.
Well, I bet they are. And for those who are shuddering, DeepPool have created a product called Cure, with a K, K-U-R-E, which automates the entire process, doing all of that for you across multiple entities and multiple jurisdictions with full AEOI, and for the uninitiated, that is the automated exchange of information, reporting. No more manual errors, no more wasted time, no more cracks for unscrupulous investors to fall through, no more, in fact, cold shivers.
Check it out at deep-pool.com.
Yes, indeed. So, Ray, what is management information?
Well, it's information prepared for consumption by management, but of course that's just rephrasing its name, really.
Yeah, and which you've done beautifully. But can we do better than that?
Right, okay. Well, typically, it's a summary of operational activity and outcomes in a particular endeavour, perhaps right across an organisation's operations, or just in one department, or just around one theme or objective.
Okay, I think that is better. And given our mission, the flavour of management information will focus on financial crime operations and outcomes in our world. Is there any regulatory guidance on this?
Well, there's guidance you should have some, and there's guidance on how you should use it, but not very much on what it should look like. There's no set, for instance, of required data points. It's more a case of the ever-popular examples might include.
Ooh, we see that a lot, don't we? And I'm sure we shall run through some of those at some point today. I note that the FCA has quite an old page that sets out its stall, but it's worth quoting from by way of context.
Well, away you go then.
I shall then. It reads, and I'm quoting, "Management information, MI, is important in analysing trends, helping you forecast the future and solve problems."
So straight away, there's an expectation here that the MI is not an end in itself, that it should be the starting point for a series of activities.
Yes, Ray, I think that's absolutely right. Specifically, analysing trends, forecasting and problem solving. None of those happen if management just looks at or just files the MI they receive.
Which is what often happens, Graham, much to the frustration of the people who've put the MI together. How can we guard against that?
I think in a whole range of ways, Ray, but I think the most effective way is to present the MI with some analysis and commentary that gives them something to think about. And even by adding specific questions and discussion prompts for managers in the MI itself.
I used to give them a blank table at the front of the pack to note their decisions and actions from reviewing the MI and to assign action owners and deadlines.
I think that's a good idea, Ray.
So let's look at analysing trends first. Who's doing this analysis, Graham? Is it the person preparing the MI or the management body receiving it?
Well, in truth, I've seen it done both ways, Ray, but the best course is somewhere in the middle. Sounds very much like an English compromise, but there you go. The person creating the MI can note key trends in the information over time and add this in the commentary under data in sections of the MI. But if this arrives fully cut and dried with conclusions and ready to note and move on, it doesn't let management do its job.
No, and that means that management doesn't take responsibility, like the airline pilot who flicks on the autopilot system and has a nap.
Exactly right, Ray. But there is a lot to do to be able to identify and analyse trends. Making a movie is much harder than taking a photograph.
Come again?
Well, if you take a photograph, you're capturing a scene. You don't capture context. You don't know what happened leading up to the picture. You don't know reliably the speeds and directions of the objects in view. And without that, you could get a greatly mistaken impression of what is going on.
Yeah, I get that. Whereas with a movie?
Well, then you get context, Ray. Speed and direction of travel become apparent. Cause and effect is illuminated. Stop the film and you can offer, say, with a good degree of certainty, what will happen next? You might have subtitles too to help you understand what's going on if the dialogue is in an unfamiliar language.
Or director's commentary as an option on the DVD version.
Well, absolutely. So MI should present a movie rather than a photograph, which encapsulates the FCA's first two purposes, analysing trends and forecasting the future.
And the further analysis of cause and effect over time lets management get into the third purpose too, solving problems. Because over time you can start to see the relationships and interplay between activities, trends and outcomes. And often you can see where a tweak in systems will reliably change an outcome that you want.
Well, that sounds easy then.
Yeah, it does. So let's just do that with our MI.
Well, yes, let's. But to get there, we need our MI to clear a few hurdles first, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And here comes a checklist and possibly a tortured acronym.
Oh, we love a tortured acronym, right?
You really need to get out more, Graham.
Yeah, that's what my wife keeps telling me too.
And I'm not surprised. Budum tush. I'm here until Friday. Try the salmon special.
Yeah. The checklist then.
Well, here we go. Your MI needs to be timely.
So it has to be available quickly enough after the activity it records to let people act on it promptly.
Yes. Also, it needs to be relevant.
Which means it should focus on things management can control or at least influence or escalate.
Quite so. Third, it needs to be accurate.
Well, that largely speaks for itself, but that accuracy extends to the numbers and facts it reports and to whom it goes.
And finally, consistent.
Yes, it needs to have consistent content and presentation on a period-to-period basis, or spotting trends and making decisions out of that is impossible.
In many ways, Graham, a consistently presented MI set is way better than a more comprehensive but always changing presentation. It's better to have a still target than a moving one.
Yeah, so this acronym then, Ray, TRAC, timely, relevant, accurate, consistent. Oh, okay.
Well, I considered CART, but it seemed a little prosaic.
I think you made the right choice.
Well, thank you.
That's okay. Now then, earlier we spoke about your MI may include list. Where is that, Ray?
It's in the FCA's Financial Crime Guide for Firms, Graham, which I think we're on record as having described as an almost criminally underused resource.
Indeed we are, Ray. And what is in the list?
It's in FCG section 2.2.2, Graham, and it starts with an overview of the financial crime risks to which the firm is exposed, including information about emerging risks and any changes to the firm's risk assessment.
Starts with. That seems pretty comprehensive all on its own. So what's next?
Legal and regulatory developments and the impact these have on the firm's approach.
Okay, now the first one already had me thinking this, but now it is obvious. This isn't all numerical data, though, is it, Ray? There's qualitative as well as quantitative.
And that's easy for you to say, Graham.
You have no idea how pleased I was to get that right first time. And it's even harder to spell.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right, of course. While we might be accustomed to producing or consuming dashboard MI that's all fueled by numbers, it's pretty clear the regulator wants you to look beyond just that.
It is. So next on the list, we have, quotes, an overview of the effectiveness of the firm's financial crime systems and controls. Now, that is a big one, isn't it?
It is, Graham. And this is very often overlooked in MI that's purely operational.
So how many SARs, how many escalations, material screening alerts, and so on?
Indeed. But there's a requirement to step outside that here and also report on the controls themselves. It's like saying, here's what our mechanics have done this month, and also here's how we've checked whether our mechanics are doing the right things.
Always important, particularly when it's my car. We've spoken before about having a compliance monitoring plan that tests the effectiveness of your financial crime controls, and here is where that contributes into the management view.
We have spoken about it before, but I think we might be due a full episode on it soon, or perhaps on effectiveness more widely.
Well, I think that's a good idea. But what else does the regulator suggest we might include in our MI?
Well, the next point seems at an entirely different level of granularity. It is, quote, an overview of staff expenses, gifts and hospitality and charitable donations, including claims that were rejected.
Like having your speeding fines paid for on your MP expenses.
Or not, as the case may be.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Topical reference and probably meaningless if you're not in the UK. Apologies. But there you go.
Yeah.
It is important for management to have sight of potential bribery and corruption issues. Of course. And then manage those controls.
Yeah, absolutely. And then finally, we have a bunch of sub-bullets under the heading of relevant information about individual business relationships.
Okay, and they are?
Here we go. The number and nature of new business relationships, in particular those that are high risk. The number and nature of business relationships that were terminated due to financial crime concerns. The number of transaction monitoring alerts, details of any true sanction hits, and information about suspicious activity reports considered or submitted where this is relevant.
And these are really the bread and butter of most firms' MI, aren't they? That second one, I think, can be incredibly enlightening.
Business relationships terminated for financial crime concerns.
Yeah, if that starts trending, for example, or if it sits at zero or pretty much whatever it is, it's worth looking at because you can tell a lot from looking at what the firm says no to.
Very true.
Okay, so that's the content, or certainly a possible set of content. What should it look like?
Well, I have views, Graham.
I'm sure you do, Ray. Design and layout is very much your thing. So what are some of the issues here?
Well, first of all, it's really unlikely that all of this data has a single source. It will come from different people, departments and systems.
Yeah, some will come from first-line teams like new customer numbers and transaction monitoring metrics. SAR details will have to come from the MLRO's team. The gifts and hospitality may well come from HR and their systems and so on.
So, if you're not careful, you may end up with a mishmash of styles and formats that make it hard to navigate the data or actually see what it's telling you.
So what's the answer?
You need a process of ingesting the data from different sources and presenting it in a consistent and informative schema.
On as automated a basis as possible, so you can minimise the chance of transcription errors.
And that process should also enrich the data in two specific ways. First, it should add in historical data for each point.
Thereby turning the photograph into a movie.
Oh, yes. And secondly, adding analysis and commentary to help the reader, management, turn the information into actionable intelligence.
Thereby enabling the three stated purposes of analysing trends, forecasting and problem solving.
Yeah, and often we don't see an appreciation of that difference. Information by itself is pointless, but turning it into intelligence is powerful.
And more to the point, it is also what the regulator expects you to do.
Well, yes, there's that too.
Now, Ray, I think it's time to share a pet hate of mine when it comes to the presentation of numerical MI.
Please do.
RAG ratings, Ray. Red, amber, green. They're almost irresistible, a bit like me, but they drive me loopy.
Bit like you also. Yeah, me as well. But what's your beef with them?
Well, where do I start? Well, first of all, I think there's a danger they can dumb down the intelligence, excuse the pun, by removing all the nuance. If you look at the boundary between, say, amber and red, that's a really thin line that doesn't really exist.
No, it's like when we turn 18 or 21 or whatever, we don't fundamentally change at midnight one day into a different type of person.
No, well, I didn't. Anyway, so we might lose some of the nuance, invest more insurance than is deserved, for instance, in an amber that is in reality half a mark away from red.
Or even worse, we might look at something that's green and conclude there's nothing to worry about.
I think that might is doing a bit of work. yes, and I think you put your finger on the fundamental concern when we RAG rate risks as opposed to other metrics like task completion or costs. Green suggests no risk, which is very different from low risk or normal risk.
There's a powerful unconscious association there, at least.
Yes, there is. The other aspect I wanted to consider when we think about ratings, boundaries and colours is who sets the boundaries and how. When you think about it, where you set those boundaries has a massive impact on how the MI is then interpreted.
Because that determines what we think is acceptable, what we think we can live with and what we should take action on rather than leave alone.
Absolutely right, Ray. So are we suggesting there should be rather less analysis?
Well, certainly less summarisation sometimes. When you over-summarise, you lose nuance and sometimes conceal risks. So if you present a summary fault rate on your car production line of 0.1%, that sounds great. But if every one of those faults happens on the same individual task, that should ring alarm bells. But it's hidden through summarisation.
I suppose the more aggressively you curate this data, the more likely you are to present a distorted picture.
You are.
When we were on holiday recently, my wife wanted a selfie of herself.
Well, obviously of herself.
Well, yeah, fair point. but I was going to say she wanted it to include some particularly attractive scenery behind her. Now, I lost count of the number of times she rejected pictures, having taken them, adjusted her position or the camera's position or her expression or waited for traffic behind her to pass by.
It's a familiar experience, Graham. We all do it.
Well, yes, we do. And eventually she got a picture she was happy with, but it depicted a level of alignment and perfection that in reality was pretty fleeting. I mean, you could even say contrived.
And when you fluff up the MI, that's what you're getting?
Well, it's certainly a risk, and you need to be transparent about what you've done with the data to present the picture that you have built from it.
That's sensible.
Yes. But of course, having gone to all the effort of producing the MI, we need to make sure it makes a difference.
Yes, which means getting it to the right people, having them review it in the right way and make decisions from it that result in actions that bring about improvements.
And what are some of the ways we can do that? Because just sending a PDF to people isn't going to necessarily achieve all or indeed any of that.
Well, you're so right, Graham. As I said earlier, I've developed MI reports that have questions, leave gaps and include tables that invite people to interact with the material.
Including the MI report in a management meeting agenda and pack also makes sure it gets discussed by the right group. And crucially, getting that discussion minuted and actions recorded and tracked afterwards is invaluable.
Yes, it certainly is. I think that'll probably do for our whistle-stop tour of MI. What have we got next for people, Graham?
Well, I think it segues very nicely on from this because we're going to do a discussion about noise and bias and why they're different and why they're both extremely important when you're putting MI together.
I'm looking forward to it.